Certainly is good to be with you today. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Hope that it's a good day for you. Hope that you get treated well, get to eat whatever you want, get pampered a little bit maybe. Hope that everybody has a good day. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. Hope that everyone can be back with us this evening. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. That's where we will spend our time today. Philippians chapter 3. And as we think of Father's Day, today we honor our earthly fathers and all that they mean to us. But as we come here this morning, we also honor our Heavenly Father. You know, it's not just today, but every day we look for ways that we should be trying to honor our Heavenly Father and for all that He's done for us and all that He continues to do for us. Today we're going to look at some words from the Apostle Paul that will help us as we look to honor God with our lives. As we look at Philippians chapter 3, Paul is in a discussion here about where he can have confidence, what he can have confidence in. And he gives a list of things that he himself could have confidence in. Verse 2 begins by saying, "Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul says here, if you want to put confidence in something, and he's obviously talking about the Jews, and he's talking about their confidence that came with being the chosen people of God in the Old Testament, the confidence that came from their flesh. Paul says, well, if you want to have confidence in that, guess what? I can have more confidence. I can be very confident in who I am because let me list the things that I have. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, we know he knew the law. We know he knew it well. He studied, he learned, he was very proficient in the law and was such a Pharisee. But then he goes on to say, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. He was zealous for God. Now, sometimes that zeal came without knowledge. Sometimes that zeal came without the right ideas. But he was very zealous, had a clear conscience. He was very sure in who he was. He had confidence in what he believed. And as to righteousness, under the law, he says, blameless. He kept the law. And so if we're going to have confidence in the flesh, if we're going to brag on ourselves because of where we are, where we're from, and we're going to boast in those things, Paul says, well, I can do that even more so than many of you. But notice what he says in verse 7. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." As we think about what Paul is talking about here, how many religious people, how many quote-unquote religious people give off the impression that they can boast because of who they are, because of what they've done, because of what they've achieved? You know, we look out into the world sometimes and we see people who are using Scripture or using the Bible, who are using Christianity to prop themselves up and to brag on themselves. look at me, look how good I am. What is Paul talking about here? I have all these things that I could very well point to and boast about and say, look, look at me. But he says, I'm willing to give every one of those up. To give all of that, to relinquish all of those things for that position of boasting for the simple value of knowing Jesus. The value of knowing Christ. I don't want to boast in those things. I want to boast in myself. I want to boast in Christ. And knowing Him is more important than all those things. Look, He is a Jew. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He is a Pharisee. And He says here very plainly in verse 8, for His sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as garbage. Can you imagine a Jew sitting there saying, I count my heritage, I count where I come from, I count all those things as garbage in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing was anything without Jesus. And he goes on to say in verse 9, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. His confidence came not from anything he could accomplish on his own. His confidence came not from anything that he could do and boast about. His confidence came through Jesus, through his faith in Him. For us today, it's the very same. There's no confidence. We have nothing to boast about. If we obey the gospel, it's simply what we should do. If we give ourselves to the cause of Christ and we try to live a religious and righteous life, it's because it's what we should do. Nothing to be boasting about. Nothing. We don't have a righteousness that comes from ourselves. Our righteousness comes through faith in Christ. Our righteousness comes through our faith in Him and what He means to us. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. There is nothing that we can do. Of course, Paul here talking about those who prop themselves up and says, look where I come from, look who I am, I'm one of God's chosen people. Paul says that's not important. What's important is to know Christ. We want to honor the Father today. We give ourselves to the cause of Christ. We give ourselves to knowing Him and understand the value that comes from having faith in Him. Nothing we can do to ever earn, merit, or deserve salvation. Our salvation comes through Him. And it's to Him we must give ourselves. As we drop down to verse 12, Paul talks about the importance of moving forward. The importance of keeping moving. He says there in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. You know, as we look at what Paul says here, with all of his accomplishments, with all that Paul had done, and as we read the New Testament, we read the writings in the mind of Paul over and over again. The conversion, the movement to be what God wanted him to be, the apostle to the Gentiles. All that he suffered, all that he was willing to go through. If there's anyone who could say, I'm ready, and I am the Christian I ought to be, would it not be Paul? Could he not with confidence say, this is what you need to be? But yet in verse 12, he says what? Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. I press on. I keep moving. I keep working. And he's going to give us three things here that he mentions that we need to do. Three things that he is doing in order to make sure that he gets to attain the resurrection of the dead there in verse 11. That he gets to be what he wants to be. That he gets to go where he wants to go. That he becomes what he needs to become. Verse 13, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He mentions three things we need to do. Three things that he's willing to do in order to press forward, in order to strain towards the goal. First, he says, forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. We can't let past mistakes hold us back from where we can be and from what we can become. If there was any apostle that would have skeletons in his closet, that could possibly hold him back, that could possibly keep him from accomplishing all that God wanted, would it not be Paul himself? What did he say earlier? As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Paul set about a mission when his name was Saul, to do all that he could to destroy the message of Jesus, to do all that he could to destroy the church. He set about and led people to prison. He split up families. He stood at the feet of Stephen and held the coats of the men who stoned him to death. And he heartily approved at the death of Stephen. If there was anyone who could say, "People aren't going to listen to me. People aren't going to hear me. What I've done in my past prevents me from doing anything for the church moving forward," it would be Saul. Now, he did run into some opposition, but it never stopped him from moving forward with the gospel. We may make past mistakes. We may have things that we wish we'd have never done. We may have things that we feel like are anchors that hold us down. But what does Paul say? Forget what lies behind. How many times can you go in the past and correct a mistake? What's in the past is in the past. We must move forward. He says, forgetting what lies behind. And then he says, straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward. When you think of Christianity, does the word strain come to mind? When you think of living a Christian life, does effort come to mind? For many, if religion is not easy or convenient, they're not interested. And you look out into a religious world that we have today, and maybe you take it one step further. If religion is not convenient and entertaining and what exactly I want, then it's not for me. Paul says about a Christian life, straining forward to what lies ahead. We've got to give effort. Sometimes it's a strain. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it takes us committing ourselves to being the kind of Christian we ought to be and moving forward. Sometimes it is a strain. The devil's very good at what he does. He's convinced countless people to turn from God and to live the life that they choose to live, not the life that God has asked them to live. It is easy to reject. It is easy to move away. It is easy to simply chase what we want out of life. Sometimes it's a strain. Sometimes it requires effort. Sometimes it's a fight to keep moving forward, to commit ourselves to Christ, no matter what the results may bring. We must give effort in order to obtain it. The Christian life is not something God is just going to hand over and say, "You have to do nothing." We can't earn our salvation, that is true. But we must participate in the process. We must move forward. We must live as best we can for Him, straining forward, giving effort to what lies ahead. And then verse 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." I press on. One of the hardest things to guard against in Christianity is complacency. It's finding a place, getting comfortable, and stopping. It's very easy to do. We can reach a point where this is my comfort level. This is what I am. And so there's not really much else for me to do. We can find that place of comfort, that place of complacency. And when we do that, we stop moving forward. We stop pressing on. We stop growing. We stop maturing. We hit a wall. And that's very easy to do. It's very easy to do. Paul says, I press on. I keep moving. I keep working. I keep trying. I keep learning. And for all of us, that's an encouragement to keep doing that. Don't let what's happened in the past hold us back. Understand that we've got to strain sometimes. We've got to move. We've got to participate in the fight. We can't find a place where we just get comfortable and stop growing. When we stop, when we get complacent, we don't actually stop. We go backwards. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 15, he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. It takes a mature Christian to understand the importance of moving, the importance of not stopping, the importance of not becoming complacent, but pressing on toward the goal. We want to please God. We want to honor our Father today. We got to keep moving. Keep working. Never feel comfortable. And as we look at verse 17, we see what happens when we neglect the strain. We neglect the effort. Verse 17, brothers, join in me in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory and their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to even subject all things to Himself. When we neglect the strain, when we don't press on, what happens? We can be like these that Paul is talking about who were there, but they fell in love with earthly things. They fell in love with things that pleased them. And so they became enemies of the cross. We regress, we move backwards when we don't press forward. When we don't honor God in our lives and commit ourselves to Him, not just on Sunday, but on every day. And we strain forward to have a better relationship with Him, to know more, to better understand what these Scriptures have in store for us. Why do we strain? Because our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's where we want to go. It's what Paul is talking about. Why is he saying these things? Because that's where he wants to be. And that's where he wants to go. We strain because our citizenship is with him. And we don't want to miss out. So think about these things this morning. It's how we can honor God in our lives. If we want to honor the Father today, we must keep straining to what lies ahead. We've got to place God first in our lives. He needs to be above everything. He needs to be the most important thing. And it's what we never should ever get enough of. We've got to keep moving forward. We want to be with Him in heaven. In order to do that, we can't let anything from the past hold us down. What we were is not what we will be. It's not what we can be. With God, we can be exactly what He wants us to be. So we don't get weighed down by the past, but we move forward. We're willing to stand true. We're willing to stand tall, even in a very frustrating and confusing and challenging world that really brings Christianity to the test on a daily basis. We strain. We put up the fight. Our soul is worth it. And the souls of those around us are worth it. So we strain forward and we press on, never getting complacent, never getting comfortable, always ready to move forward. Are you ready to press on today? If you've never named the name of Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. If you've heard the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away. Preparing for the strain that comes with it and pressing on toward the goal. Maybe here this morning and you're not satisfied with your relationship with God. You're not satisfied with the way things are and you want to press forward. Understand that He's here. Take your hand and walk with you. He wants to accept you back. You want to honor the Father today. If there's anything amiss in your life that needs to be made right, if you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing?